some old vids and a few crumbling tabloids that he'd seen among the ruins. Christy was a little better informed, but Rick had lived it all, and he was able to distinguish for them what was true and what was not. Much of the exhibit was in the form of posters, some of them running all the way from floor to ceiling, and there were whole rooms covered in painted slogans. Rick read them silently, occasionally reciting some part to the other two. Once he shook his head and sighed.
Something's happening here, but I don't know what it is.
In the center of the building was a huge atrium, with patched and broken skylights, and balconies ringing it at every level. Here they had a chance to snatch a breath and relax a moment. Most of the locals around them took the opportunity to smoke roll-ups, plucking them from pockets in their ragged furs and cupping them in their hands, like children breaking school rules. Rick glanced around to make sure nobody was close enough to overhear their conversation.
It's amazing.
Yeah, but we should be out and looking for the tools we want.
Patience is the greatest of all virtues, Ryan, my friend. This is a once-in-a-lifetime chance for me. And you gotta remember, I don't have all that much lifetime left.
Is it just a way of keeping the old fires of hatred glowing?
Ryan noticed that her sentient hair had curled in, tight and defensive against her nape. Rick's face was pallid, and there were dark rings around his eyes.
Yeah, the way they tell it, it was us that started the nuking. Sneak attack, like Pearl Harbor. Posters say that the whole of the North American continent was vaporized and sank without a trace. No survivors, 100% dead. Zero, zilch, all gone.
But if their barons claim that everyone got chilled, why bother with all this shit?
Ryan waved his hand, gesturing around the echoing hall.
What's the point of it, Rick?
The party says remember. Says to remember is never to make the same mistakes again.
What mistakes?
Well, the posters say that they tried for friendship in the 80s and into the 90s.
Is that true?
Yeah, called Glasnost. But peace is a two-way street. Now, we went along with it, then the guys running the store on Markvar Boulevard began to get cold feet. Folks in equivalent positions in the Pentagon got to feeling the same way, all downhill from there. Wrongs on both sides. Men with the guns had the loudest voices. I marched and demonstrated and all that stuff, but it didn't make a hoot or holler of a difference. The cold got colder, shutters fell and frontiers closed. Hell, you guys know the story. I guess we could open a place like this in the ruins of Washington and tell the same twisted truths and torn lies.
Ryan noticed that a slender woman in a green uniform was looking at them, held on one side, as if something about them rang some kind of bell for her. That was enough for Ryan. His hand dropped automatically to the butt of the Sig Sauer.
Let's go.
They trailed on into the depths of the vast, rambling building. Outside, Zimyanyan had left his wag and walked briskly through the watery spring sunshine, up the stairs to the entrance of the museum. He showed his sec pass to the woman on the doors and explained his mission to her. She switched on her lapel voice trans and passed the message about the three outlanders the Sec Force was to look for.
One-eyed man, red-haired woman, one other male. Orders from, do not apprehend. Notify main Sec Control at front entrance.
How many other exits, comrade sister?
She pointed them out to him on a faded map, beneath a worn sheet of clear plastic. Zimyanyan looked carefully at it and nodded.
Have all the exits covered?
It will take several minutes, Comrade Major Commissar.
Quickly as you can. I do not think a few seconds one way or the other will make very much difference.
That would turn out to be one of Zimyanyan's very rare mistakes. About 100 yards away, Ryan and the other two were staring disbelievingly at some glass cases in one of the halls. Rick glanced around them, but nobody seemed very interested. Dust lay thick on the shelves, smudging the outlines of what was on them.
Tools? Oh, spank my inner child, everything we could need.
What's the notice say?
Just that these were found in the Imperialist dacha in the country, and that they were used for purposes of espionage.
Espionage?
Spying, Ryan. But they're Matt Trans tools, just what we need to fix the doors. That movable wrench and those there, oh, and that, and even that.
Wouldn't like all of them, would you?
No. Just those five I pointed out.
We're attracting some attention, friends.
I'm getting a bad feeling. We better move on. We can come back and lift this after dark. There aren't any Seclocks anywhere.
Who'd want to steal this old junk? Just us.
They were near the end of the unguided tour, and they could actually taste fresh air after the humidity and stink of sweat and damp clothes. There seemed to be just one more room to visit. It had a large notice at its entrance, and they had become aware of a new liveliness among the Russians, all wearing smiles of anticipation. What's it say, Rick?
I don't know.
A guess?
It's something about a place where feelings can be shown and patriotic anger demonstrated for the party.
Christie was first in line into the vast room, which displayed only a single glass case at its center.
Oh, Gaia!
The sides of the glass were slick with a torrent of human spittle, almost obscuring what rested inside the case. A tattered Stars and Stripes. The scene had a quality of unreality. Ryan recalled a dreadful nightmare that the traitor had once shared with him.
When I was a knee-high brat, I was in this shack in some frontier pest holeville. Looked out the window, and I saw myself. But I was a real old man, stooped over and bent. White hair, lined face, dribbling eyes. What was so bad was that I had this vision that one day I'd be an old man, just like that. And I'd be outside a house in some frontier pest holeville. I'd look at the shack and see someone at the window. A young kid's face, scared and horrified beyond any believing. And it'd be me.
Ryan had never forgotten that story, with its frightening and bitter flavor of unreality. That moment in the Moscow Museum had the same appalling taste. There was an armed guard at each corner of the case, watching each man and woman as they filed past. The line ran between faded crimson ropes that were hooked over metal stands, but it was moving fast. One by one, they would pause in front of the scorched and ragged flag, hawking up saliva as they got ready, then spitting it out so that it splattered against the filthy glass, hanging there before sliding toward the shallow metal trough that ran all around the case. Rick looked around for some means of escape.
No.
Yes. Our getting chilled won't help Old Glory.
I can't spit on a flag.
The one-eyed man reached out and gripped him by the arm very casually, fingers tightening like chrome steel clamps.
Please.
We go and we do it. Do it good. Then we get out. And we think of some way of getting back in here, Rick. Understand?
Yes, yes. Just let go of me. Not the flag. That's the bottom of the fucking barrel, Ryan.
When we come back after the tools lover, maybe we can collect the flag at the same time.
Maybe.
With the narrowed eyes of the guard scanning everyone's face, there was no way of cheating. Ryan swallowed hard as he neared the head of the line, feeling the dryness in his mouth. He eased Christie ahead of him, staying close to Rick in case he lost his nerve at the last moment. If that happened, he'd already decided to push him aside, grab Christie, and make a run for it. But the line moved so fast that the moment had come and gone almost before they realized it. Ryan concentrated on looking at the flag.